Welcome to Patriot Voices Radio Podcast. This is an encore podcast featuring an exclusive interview with Senator Rick Santorum and best-selling author Joel Rosenberg discussing his new book, Damascus Countdown. You can learn more about the book at joelrosenberg.com. Follow Patriot Voices at patriotvoices.com and listen to the archives of all our Patriot Voices radio shows at patriotvoices.com/radio. And now, enjoy the interview.
Right now, we want to welcome to the Patriot Voices radio show, Senator Rick Santorum. Hello, Senator.
How you doing, Dan? It's good to be with you.
Oh, we're excited to have you, and thanks for joining us today. And we're going to put you to work, Senator, because we've got some very special guests today, and Joel Rosenberg and James Dobson. And so we're very excited about having you all on the show.
Well, that's not work. I mean, those are two great folks that will give our listeners a tremendous perspective on two very important areas. One, an external threat to our country. I think the external threat to our country, which is a nuclear Iran. And there's nobody that is more prescient in his fictional novels that he's written about what's going to happen in the Middle East than Joel Rosenberg. I hope he is wrong in this case, because his latest book is sort of what happens if all the things that we're all worried about actually do happen. And so I'm anxious to talk to him. And, of course, Dr. James Dobson, there's nobody better out there to talk about the real fundamental problem going on within our country, which is the breakdown of the family, and particularly the problem of fatherlessness in America. So two great guests and two very important topics.
Well, Senator, let's not waste any time here. We actually have Joel on the line here. He is a best-selling author. We want to welcome to Patriot Voices radio show, Joel Rosenberg. Welcome to the show.
It's great,
Joel,
to be with you guys. How are you?
All right. Well, we're great. Joel, thank you so much for joining us. I was very honored to do a little blurb on your book, Damascus Countdown. And obviously, you heard my introduction and my praise for you, but it is well deserved. And not only is he a great author and tells great stories. I mean, he is really a student of this area and understands the dynamics that are going on in the current conflicts in Syria and the cold conflict that's now being waged in Iraq. And of course, we see Afghanistan now raising its head again with the unstable government of Hamid Karzai. So you're writing about the epicenter, as one of your books was, the epicenter of what things are going on there. So give us a little rundown of what your book is about and how it sort of ties into what's going on today.
Well, Rick, I appreciate it very much, and I did appreciate, yes, enormously, your kind words. And, you know, and beyond that, you've been working on these issues on Iran, Syria, our partnership with Israel, advancing democracy and human rights in the Middle East for a long time. And I think you probably captured it right, that what this novel series does that I'm just finishing now with Damascus Countdown being the third in the trilogy, is to imagine what could happen if your voice and others who understand these issues well aren't listened to. In other words, Damascus Countdown is about what happens if an American president miscalculates with regards to Iran. What happens if in trying to use diplomacy and sanctions and covert operations, that just simply doesn't work, but that the president holds on too long to that strategy, and in fact, Iran not just acquires one nuclear warhead, but a small arsenal. And that's the fictional premise that began with the book 12th Imam several years ago, and then the Tehran Initiative, and now it concludes with Damascus Countdown. Because in the series, what I'm trying to do is look at what could happen if an American president miscalculates. So in this case, what if Iran gets a small arsenal of nuclear warheads, working closely with North Korea and with the AQ Khan network in Pakistan? And what if an American president tries to pressure the Israelis, don't strike Iran. Don't let us keep working on the diplomatic and economic track. Don't launch a preemptive strike. But what if Israel does it anyway?
This is sort of sounding like what's happening now. I mean, basically, what you're describing is the Obama foreign policy, and both with respect toward Iran and North Korea, and with respect to they're pressuring Israel not to do anything. I mean, that's the current state of play, basically, right?
Well, it's turned out that way. I mean, I began working on this series 5 years ago, and it, you know, as you know, the process of writing books and then the publishing. So here we are.
That's why I call you prescient, because you've really called it. You've called it from the very beginning.
Well, I am totally with you, my friend, that I hope this does not happen. I think this is the dynamic right now. And as the president goes to Israel in just about a week and a half or so, Iran and Syria are going to be topics number one and two, and they should be. Now, in the novel, again, you know, without giving it away, but just, again, some more context, Israel does, in fact, launch a preemptive strike. That strike begins at the end of the last book, the Tehran Initiative, and it continues at the beginning of Damascus Countdown. Because then the question is, once Israel launches, I don't think it's as difficult as an operation as some have suggested. I think the big problem Israel faces is not the actual attack. It's the blowback. It's the retaliation, not just from Iran, but from Hezbollah in southern Lebanon if they join Hamas in Gaza. And then maybe most seriously, what if Iran can persuade Syria with its chemical and biological weapons to retaliate against Israel as well? Now you've got a real nightmare scenario, and that's the scenario of Damascus Countdown.
Well, that's actually amazing that, you know, you started this 5 years ago and looking at how this is going forward, because it is tracking, and you even mentioned North Korea. Now we're seeing the saber rattling from North Korea, they walking away from the armistice peace agreement to end the Korean War. All of these things are roiling, and let's focus on the president's visit to Israel for a moment. I mean, you interact with senior levels of the Israeli government. They have to be sort of beside themselves at this point, seeing what's going on around the world. And seeing just the snub, I mean, an unbelievable snub toward the Secretary of Defense by Hamid Karzai. They have to be just feeling completely isolated with this administration at this point. How does that meeting go in Israel?
Well, I think that it's actually a more of a mixed record of late between the Obama administration and Israel. For example, the fact that the president's first foreign trip of the second term is to Israel, for the Israelis, it's huge. The question on their mind and mine is this trip designed to reset U.S.-Israel relations on a more positive and closer note than it's been in the last 4 years, where it's been very strained at best? Or is the president coming to privately apply more pressure against Israel on three key issues? The president wants Israel to divide Jerusalem and make Jerusalem part of a Palestinian capital. The president wants Israel to roll back, withdraw from the West Bank to the 1967 borders. Those were indefensible then. Indefensible now, and this would be a mistake. And the third issue is that the president has been pressuring Israel publicly and privately not to launch a preemptive strike against Iran. Now, if those three things are still operative, then it's going to be a rough trip. But Israel is sort of holding out the hope that the president's coming, he's honoring them by coming, and they're trying not to be cynical. But, you know, there's been tensions between Netanyahu and Obama. And to be fair, one other thing here is that while it's been a strained relationship, very much so, it is true that the Obama administration has supported financially the Arrow missile defense system and the Iron Dome rocket defense system, which have been hugely important for Israel. So I don't think it's fair to say that, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but some of my friends are saying that, you know, Obama is anti-Israel. I don't think the evidence bears that out fully. But there's no question that if you divide Jerusalem, roll back to 67 borders, and tie Israel's hands from defending itself, then that would ultimately be anti-Israel, and that would be a huge mistake for any American president, especially now.
Well, let me just say this. The appointment of Chuck Hagel and John Brennan as part of his national security team can't necessarily make the Israelis feel particularly comfortable, particularly Chuck Hagel. So I guess my counter to what you were saying is, or at least what the Israelis are hoping, not what you're saying, what the Israelis are hoping is, show me some evidence other than the fact that he's coming,
right.
Which is evidence, I guess, evidence of itself, except it was a major issue in the campaign that he had never visited Israel and visited almost every other Arab country. And so the fact that he's coming, but give me some indication that thinks that or any sign from the White House that he's doing, that he's thinking anything different than the things that you just laid out.
Right. Well, I agree with you. With the one of the challenges of President Obama's first 4 years is that he talks a big game, but then doesn't deliver. And so, you know, if this is leading from behind or sort of a photo op foreign policy, that's a problem. Netanyahu, I think, has come to the realization that there's no way in a normal scenario that the Obama administration is going to launch a preemptive strike against Iran's nuclear facilities. And your point about the three national security people that they have put into place underscores that with a big yellow highlighter. So at this point, what he, I think, is hoping for is, can I get a green light from the American president that if in the next few months, or, you know, hopefully longer, but if it's just a few months away from this red line, then does Israel have a green light from Washington to take the action it needs? One of the challenges is, what if Netanyahu is told privately by the president, I'll give you that green light, but only if you'll make a deal where you roll back to the 67 borders. You know, you make me a deal on comprehensive peace with the Palestinians, and I'll give you what you want on Iran. I hope that's not the deal, because that's a devil's bargain.
I was going to say, the two existential threats of the state of Israel is a nuclear Iran and a compromised, secured Israel with borders and a peace agreement that makes them vulnerable to the enemy that will continue to be their enemy.
Right. Well, that's right. And so Netanyahu couldn't accept an argument like that. But if you look at the last 4 years, Rick, you and I have talked about this, what Netanyahu wants is to neutralize the Iran threat in any way possible. What the president seems most concerned about is cutting Israel in half and making a peace deal that, you know, for the record books, and that seems to be a higher priority for him than stopping Iran from getting the bomb. Now, there has been a tone shift in the last week in the administration. You saw CENTCOM Commander General Mattis last week before Congress say that sanctions are not working, diplomacy is not working, and that he's been instructed to continue developing, quote, other options, unquote. Secretary Kerry reiterated that on an ABC News interview in the Gulf, and then Vice President Biden said time is running out during his speech to the AIPAC conference.
Okay.
What the question is, you and I would agree with that. We would have agreed with that several years ago. The fact that
right.
The Obama administration is saying it now does suggest that a possible policy change could be coming next week. If sanctions and diplomacy aren't working, then what's left? Because time is running out. The administration is acknowledging this. Are they prepared to give a green light without preconditions, without strings attached to the Israelis? You know, there's no point in speculating. That's simply the question we need to be asking and thinking and praying about as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And so what your book goes into is, the Obama administration gives the green light. Lay out your at least scenario, obviously without getting into too much detail of the book, as to obviously the world will not react with a green light.
Well, actually, in the novel series, my President William Jackson, he's applying enormous public and private pressure. He is not supportive of the preemptive strike, even once his own CIA determines that there are actual operational warheads. And in fact, he's offering the Israeli Prime Minister an inducement. He doesn't say we'll cut off aid if you strike. He says we'll give you submarines and other armaments that you want if you don't strike. But in the end, the Israelis feel like they have no choice. They are facing a second Holocaust, and they have to strike. And then the president threatens to bring a UN security resolution to condemn Israel for unprovoked aggression. This is where the U.S.-Israel relationship could move from being strained to broken. I mean, we're getting to the point where if these two worldviews do not coincide soon, we're going to see a dramatic and horrible historic break.
It's interesting because when you lay that scenario out, it's hard for me to conceive the Congress and the American public sort of sitting on the sidelines allowing the president to get away with this. Now, you know, what do you have anything that you sort of anticipate as the public and congressional backlash for a president so isolating a dear ally?
Yeah, I would go back to, you know, a children's story. You know, the Congress can huff and puff, but they cannot blow the White House down on foreign policy. If the president decides to break with Israel and veto spending bills that would support – I mean, if he's determined – I'm not saying this president is, but I don't really know what's in his heart. I mean, I'm just being honest. 4 years of watching him, 5 years since he said during the 2008 primaries that Israel was a tiny – I'm sorry – Iran was a tiny country
Iran.
That didn't pose a
threat.
Then the question is, how seriously is he taking it now? I'd like to think more seriously than before, but he's a mystery wrapped in a riddle, surrounded by an enigma, as Churchill famously said about Russia. I just don't understand his way of thinking. You're right. Congress is more pro-Israel than ever, and there would be political backlash for any Democrat that was siding with the president. But
right.
That doesn't mean the president isn't free to do it. He's not running again.
Very interesting. Well, this this sort of highlights the importance of this upcoming meeting. So I greatly appreciate you coming on with us, Joel. You've, as always, are right on top of things and given our listeners a tremendous feel for the significance of this upcoming meeting, and of course all the dynamics that are surrounding it. So thank you. I encourage folks, why don't you list the three books in your trilogy so make sure that people start from scratch and read all three in order. Is that the best way to do it?
Well, thank you, Rick. I appreciate you and your friendship and your courage on these issues. The first novel in this series is The 12th Imam, then The Tehran Initiative, and now Damascus Countdown. And you can, you know, just start with Damascus Countdown, but of course it's always better to get the backstory and see where this all builds to.
Well, Joel, thank you very much. God bless you, and keep up the great work and sounding the trumpet for the concerns of those of us who understand the significance and importance of our ally Israel. Thank
you as well, my friend. Thank you very much.
All right. That was Joel Rosenberg, author of the upcoming book, Damascus Countdown, and we certainly appreciate him coming on Patriot Voices Radio.